Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
But what would the football manager Graham Taylor say in this situation?
Oh yeah,
a little bit of the bubbly. He's Chris Jericho has.
That was Macho Man.
Macho Man. You've been watching a lot of Macho Man on like Going Live and stuff. You sent me a few things. Actually, can you? I think it's important for me to make clear on the Luke and Pete show. Luke, for the past month, I don't really know why or how this has come up, but he seems insistent on sending me as much Only Fools and Horses. Memorabilia links on WhatsApp. He just constantly sends me.
So, this is the Luke and Pete show. I'm Luke, that's Pete. Yeah. Welcome along. This is your first episode. God help you. I've become fascinated by the subculture that is people who are super fans of the 80s sitcom Only Fools and Horses.
Yeah.
And I got into this, my gateway drug, if you like, was when I...
the UKIP forums.
No, it was when I... Someone retweeted the actor John Challis, who plays Boise, into my timeline on Twitter.
Right.
And I just kept looking at his stuff, and I found this whole subculture. Now, I know for a fact that Only Fools and Horses is exactly the kind of basic humour that you will find annoying.
I abhor it.
Yeah, so that's why I keep sending you it. But do you not find it kind of fascinating? The same way you find like a man who's a detective also picking locks fascinating?
No, because it's just so... Like, it's not really out there, is it? It's not really interesting. There's just so much kind of like... John Challis is a really good follow on Twitter because he just retweets the craziest stuff.
Yeah.
He just...
He's a character. Yeah. He's a real character. He's got two autobiographies. Does the world need two John Challis autobiographies?
Probably not.
He sells them like self-published for a fiver on his website.
He keeps on retweeting like Serbian translated DVD covers from Only Fools and Horses.
He's into it.
He's into it.
And you know what that led me on to? It led me on to the less successful Nicholas Lyndhurst vehicle, Goodnight Sweetheart.
Yes, okay.
Where he goes back to the Second World War through some portal. Quite a brave kind of everyday sitcom for the BBC to do.
Well, he's just awful, isn't he? He's just cheats on his wife.
Yes.
Sleeps with anyone.
Well, it's a whole lot of philosophical questions, though, isn't it?
What do you mean?
Because technically, when he's having sex with another woman, it's 50 years before his wife's born.
Yeah.
So.
And that's probably what turns him on.
Maybe, yeah. You don't want to see what he did with the cement.
Was there ever a situation where he worried about the person he was sleeping with was his wife in the future's mum? Or grandmother?
It's a good question, actually. Maybe that's one of the plot points. I don't know.
You'd think that would be a plot point, wouldn't you? It's pretty route one, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it wasn't enjoyable. No, I'll tell a lie. I liked it. Good Late Sweetheart. It was good.
It's also got an actor called Victor Maguire.
Right.
Who plays Gary, I think. Gary Sparrow, who's played by Nicholas Lyndhurst. Sort of best mate, who kind of helps him out. And is kind of the guy who... I guess tries to make him see reason. I think he gets in on the swindle at some point and he's involved. Anyway, he's actually a really good actor. He's really good in it. If you watch it back, it's not aged particularly well, but he's the standout actor in it. He's also in Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels. I think he's been in a couple of other bits and pieces as well. He's in some other stuff. Anyway, he's actually quite good in it. But what was I originally talking about? Oh, yeah, so I keep sending you that stuff, Only Fools and Horses stuff, because I just think it's funny. But when I said Macho Man, my friend Jimmy, my best friend since I was a kid, he's one of these people who misremembers things all the time, and then he will swear blind that he's right when he's not, and then he'll just not care and not change it. So, for example, he always gets the words to Chaz and Dave's Snooker Loopy wrong.
Right.
And it's annoying.
What does he think it
so the
are?
The words go, pot the red and screw back to the yellow, green, brown, blue, pink and black. He, for some reason, always says, pot the yellow to the green, brown to the blue to the pink and then the black, which is like completely wrong. Right. And secondly, the thing he used to do which really annoyed me when we were kids, and he always does it now still just to annoy me and a couple of others. His, you know, Macho Man Randy Savage used to be called Macho King Randy Savage.
Yeah.
Well, Jimmy always calls him Macho Man King Randy Savage.
It's really annoying.
It's really annoying. And every time, I must have done this every time he said it for the last 25 years, literally. It's Macho Man Randy Savage. And he'll always do the announcement and go, Macho Man King Randy Savage. Yeah. It's really, really annoying.
I think we did we're doing like 12 wrestles of Christmas or whatever.
Yeah.
And the first match was Coco Beware, the block by the parrot. And the,
yeah, he's great.
The, you know, he's a bit of a kid's character, beloved by children everywhere. But the first match we do is a shoot match in where basically it means that the fight is real, where a wrestler decides to take umbrage with something that the other wrestler has done and then proceeds to beat the shit out of him.
What? How does that happen? They just unilaterally decide that?
No, one of them's got some beef in
the
locker
room. Does the other
room.
One know?
Not in this case, because he knocks him out in about 5 minutes. It's a 2-minute match.
Who's the other wrestler?
He's called the Patriot.
Right.
And they get into a ring. And Coco Beware just proceeds to, he's actually called Coco Ware at that point. And,
right.
And somebody tweeted in going, isn't it Coco Beware? And Mark's going, no, actually at that point he was in Memphis Wrestling, so he wasn't actually. And it's just this kind of thing. Wrestlers changed their names quite a lot and modified their thing when they changed territories, and obviously for IP infractions and stuff, they had to change. But I was just fascinated by this match where he just beats the flying shit out of this poor bloke. He's just a jobbing wrestler, kind of a local wrestler who comes on, and they reckoned he'd said something racist or done something wrong, but Coco Beware proceeded to give him a rather stiff clothesline and then spine busted him. I can't remember what the move was called. I never know any of the moves, but he really hurts the guy and then finishes off when he's on top of him, gives him the biggest slap to the face.
What, he's already knocked out?
He's already knocked out. He's absolutely sparked out.
That is a absolute danger of the job. That.
Fans' favourite.
What's it called? A shoot match?
Shoot match, yeah. It's wow. When things are real.
Because Macho Man's used to be called The Spider, Bonesaw, and Mr. Madness.
Well, Bonesaw was his character in the Spider-Man film, I believe.
Right, okay.
And he plays...
that makes sense.
He was still in pretty good nick.
So the reason I...
Miss Elizabeth.
Yeah, so he has got the most ridiculous timbre to his voice.
Yeah.
But, and that's why I was talking to you about it.
Yeah, yeah.
The way he speaks, and there's a really amazing clip from 1992, I'll play you a little bit of it in a minute, of Macho Man Randy Savage, like I say, 1992, going live, which was a Saturday morning kids show in the UK, on either, I think it was BBC, presented by Sarah Green.
And for people who don't know wrestling, Macho Man Randy Savage was one of the better technical wrestlers. He was an excellent wrestler.
And he was massive as well. Mm. He's a massive name. And so, picture the scene. For some reason, presumably promoting some kind of WrestleMania event in the UK or whatever, he is sat surrounded by maybe 38-year-old kids.
Yeah.
And Sarah Green is interviewing him. And the way he speaks...
Let's make it very clear. It's 38-year-old kids. The 38-year-old kids are the ones who do WrestleMania.
Sat in this room, Right, listen to the way he speaks. Here we go.
Macho Man Randy Savage, Ray. Who's still with us this morning.
Yep, check it out. Jimmy asked.
Dig it out.
I just want to say it's a friend of mine and sick right now. Get better.
Who speaks like that?
Get better.
No one speaks like that. It reminds me of when Michael Howard, bear with me here, was the Tory leader, I think, for the election, which would have been Blair's third term.
Mm.
And he obviously looked like the Prince of Darkness anyway. And the way he said the word people,
right,
which he used to say all the fucking time because he's a politician, was the most unsettling way anyone's ever said anything, including Macho Man. He used to go, and what we need to understand is that people do not want... And it was...
People.
Once you heard it, you could not unhear
people.
It. But Macho Man needs to be told there at that point, look, please... You're frightening the kids with that shit. You're already wearing a ridiculous neon pink outfit.
Hot pink.
Yeah, with a massive Stetson. People don't know what to think. These kids are never going to forget this, and in a bad way.
I love it.
Pete, I was going to ask you...
quite an aggressive husband.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. Did you know that when I was in the US, I think I forgot to mention it, on Monday, my wife's family's next-door neighbour,
right.
We always go to visit her when we're there. She's been next-door neighbour with them for a very long time, and she likes seeing my wife, who's obviously moved away now. She's 100 years old.
Mm.
And we played board
Table
games.
Tennis.
We played... No, we played board games with her all afternoon.
Right.
And she was like decent. Like actually decent. She's going to be 101 in January. So shout out Madeline. She won't be listening, but shout out Madeline.
Mm.
Amazing achievement for that. I've never met a centenarian? I've never met one before. Have you ever met someone who's 100?
No, I don't think I have actually.
No, because you're from Hartlepool.
60s are centenarians.
Yeah, it's a hard word to say. But I mean, I really wanted to ask her so much stuff, but obviously you just turn into the guy who's just hassling her because she's
old. Stop hassling 100-year-old.
Yeah, women. So I didn't ask her as many questions as I wanted. But amazing thing to meet someone who's 100.
She's born, what, Abby, 1919?
Yeah, she's born in 1919, yeah.
So it's like, would you have been... I guess she would have been... Would she have been like a... The war has ended, let's bone... kind of baby.
That's a shame.
Why is that a shame?
Because she's a 100-year-old lady.
Well, how do you think babies get made?
Don't use
loads
the word.
Of babies were born in like 1946, weren't they?
I may not know a lot about a lot, but you, when you're talking about people who are 100, you do not use the phrase "let's bone." It's disrespectful.
Darling, let's bone. Let's begin the conversation.
Wrestle this back.
No, I'm bone sore. I don't care.
What do you want for Christmas, mate? I meant to ask you that.
For Christmas. When you get to my age, you've already bought everything, haven't you?
Yeah, my mum always says that.
My house is full of shit.
I was in the doghouse last week for... my mum said to me, what do you want for Christmas? I said, I don't know.
Hmm.
And then I realised I needed a dressing gown, like a bathrobe kind of thing. So I get me a dressing gown, that's all I need, that'd be great, thank you very much. She's like, okay, fine, I'll get you one. Then, completely forgot I said that, went to the Black Friday sales in the US,
bought myself.
Yeah, well, she's fuming.
You bought a robe and then brought it back?
Yeah.
Did you not have enough trouble carting around the robe we had to take around for the Football Ramble Tour?
Yes. Mimi took an extra suitcase with us, though, right, so I could fit it in there. But so you don't want anything for Christmas, no? What are you hoping to get from the Ramble Christmas dinner Secret Santa on Saturday?
We've not even set that up. These are going to be panic buys.
Oh, yeah. Normally, they're really thoughtful.
What did Spelsy get me? You got
Donald Trump mask,
didn't he? Yeah. I can't remember what I got Spelsy. It's hard, though, isn't it? It's hard to... I think I bought...
You bought me a book one of the graphic novel.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
Was that Honor the Giant? I don't know.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
It's good that. It's good quality. I think I bought somebody a video game system. I bought, but it happened to go to one of the Laura's from Birkham, from Revisited.
Yeah.
And she just gave it away because she didn't
re-gifted
want it.
Outrageous. Re-gifted it.
Outrageous.
Amazing.
Mm. Never mind.
So you don't want anything.
I don't want a Donald Trump mask because I've already got one. So there you go.
You can never have too many, though, can you?
No, you know, no.
You don't just, if you had the money, you'd just spend it on a Donald Trump mask anyway, wouldn't you? Anyway, that's that.
Imagine like cutting up, say, 20 to 30 Donald Trump masks into like just the face portion so it's recognisable as him.
It's all machine done, surely.
Yeah, but what if you cut them up like after market, after you bought them, and then made them into like a winter coat, like a big leathery latex winter coat?
That'd be some look, that.
Ooh, wouldn't it just? Wouldn't it just?
Absolute look.
My big Donald Trump coat. Beautiful.
Have you heard of a group or YouTube, well, you will because you've got a YouTube premium account, called Lad Baby?
Yes. It's like a lad Bible kind of, isn't it? Like a lad Bible kind of like.
No, YouTube star and dad blogger Lad Baby.
Yeah.
He's
rep by the same agent as us, I believe.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I'd never heard of him.
He got offered an opportunity with him.
He had the Christmas number one last year and apparently he's trying to get it this year and he wants to get a Christmas number one every year.
Right, okay, yeah. He doesn't like vegan sausage rolls. That's all I've gotten him.
Oh, is that that guy?
He was upset by vegan sausage rolls, I think.
Oh, he's got the same agent as us.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, I can't slag him then, can I?
You can if you want.
I love sausage rolls, so put another one in the oven, baby.
Is that what he's singing?
Yeah.
What, that's for this year?
Yeah.
What, he's still upset about the vegan? This was last year. He was upset about the vegan sausage rolls.
Apparently he's rewritten Joan Jett's I Love Rock and Roll for this year's attempt, once again extolling the virtues of pork stuffed pastry.
Oh yeah, because last year's number one was about sausage rolls, wasn't it? What was that song? What was that based on? What was that parody song?
Let me put it in perspective. Until a minute ago, I had no idea who he existed. I just thought you'd like it because you like YouTube.
Yeah. I've got a YouTube account, yes. I just don't... I can't be asked at the advert. It's the best thing. If you're thinking about
it...
get your set for Christmas, give someone a YouTube Premium account.
It's the election today.
Yes.
People are voting all over the country. Do vote. It's important. If you've
check
registered
out the dogs
to,
at the voting polling
booth. Yes, exactly. It's a good hashtag. Mm. If you've registered to vote and you're going to vote but now you can't be bothered, get out there and do it. But Peter, I believe in some troubling news.
Okay.
You had a falling out with your father, with Stuart, about the political climate. And the thing that annoyed you the most was that he was sending you memes, but the JPEGs were at a very low resolution.
Yeah. It was just anti-Corbyn memes. He'll occasionally dip his toe into the muddy waters of Diane Abbott. They're always just really poorly done, usually on Microsoft Paintbrush.
Is your dad doing them himself?
No. No, they'd be much higher quality if he'd done it himself, but he just forwards on...
Isn't it just
on,
called Microsoft Paint?
What did I say?
Paintbrush. Was that a different one?
Maybe it used to be called Paintbrush, can't remember. But Deluxe Paint 3, remember that on the Amiga? Quality. Yeah. Draw, picture Tutankhamun, beautiful.
Do you remember Super Mario Paint?
I do a little bit,
yeah. That was good.
Anyway, he forwards on... There's a certain section of society which are men over 50 who are obsessed with Diane Abbott and Jeremy Corbyn, and all they do is send memes that have been forwarded from their little muggy groups. And they're the ones who will decide the selection, unfortunately, because they are politically active, and they've all gone quite mental.
Yeah.
Because they're scared of the world, and things are moving a little bit too fast for them.
Is your dad involved in this?
He's folding them on. He's clearly part of a couple of dodgy groups.
But what I don't understand here is that, so there are people in my family who have very different political opinions to me, and they know that, so they won't send that kind of stuff to me. So why is your dad sending them to you, knowing what you like and what you don't like?
Because he's a bell end like me, like we're exactly the same.
Right.
But we just, you know, but I'll just sort of go, Dad, you know, balls out the bath. When Tories are in, people generally die.
Yeah.
Actually lose their lives.
Is this your serious voice?
This is my serious voice.
Yeah.
Through, you know, just not having enough food on the table, suicide, or other things, being declared fit to work and they've got no legs or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
And all that shit, people literally die. And my dad was like, oh, what party provides you eternal life? And I was going, look, Dad, just Google fucking deaths, you know, definitely. And so I clip a couple of things and send it on. This is in the family group.
You'll get involved.
This is 1 a.m. I'm pissed. I'm pissed. He's waking up, so he's Corpus Mentis, and I'm Drunkus Maximus.
Because your dad famously gets up at 1 a.m.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. So my mum was also inexplicably as well, so she got involved.
What's she saying? Whose side's she on?
She's
trying to mediate.
She's on the sides of everyone's account.
Right.
He's kind of on the side of everyone's account, and I'm on the side of everyone's account. Everyone's an idiot. Everyone is an idiot in politics. They're just out for themselves. It's an embarrassment.
Yeah.
Imagine being an 18-year-old, your first vote. Good God, what a shower.
Yeah.
But we're just in disagreement, and he looks at one of the pieces that I forward him, and it's some Guardian writer, and he's like, you're forwarding on a piece from that woman. You may as well forward on something from Owen Jones. And I'm like, Dad, she's literally quoting a figure that is an inalienable truth.
Yeah.
It is. People die. People are dying.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're such a bellend. I like him a lot, but he's...
Looking forward to Christmas dinner? Or?
They've been radicalised. There's a generation of men in this country who have been radicalised by the Daily Mail and WhatsApp forwards.
And Facebook. And Facebook, yeah. Don't get your news from Facebook or Fox News. That would be my...
Or WhatsApp groups. Option.
And yeah, WhatsApp groups. I was going to ask, were you more annoyed about the politics side of it or the quality of the imagery?
Definitely the quality of the imagery. Just JPEGs.
What
just...
kind of file size are we talking?
I mean, there would be 20 kilobytes for text. JPEG. If you're going to... Look, if you want crisp pictures, use a GIF.
Always go GIF.
Guys, if there's not that many colours in it, 256 maximum, use a GIF.
Ideally, you want a PSD, don't you?
That would not be
ordinary
by phone. You wouldn't use it on my phone. That'd be ridiculous.
What do you think about... What would you do if you got one and it dropped into your little WhatsApp and it was a tiff?
Well, we'd have a lover's tiff, wouldn't we?
You'd be loving a tiff.
Tiff's all right.
Yeah, you'd be loving a tiff, wouldn't you? If you want full Wi-Fi. You need full Wi-Fi for that.
Full Wi-Fi.
You don't be... Listen.
That kind of chunk.
Listen, don't get me wrong. If I'm on a train with minimal 3G, I do not want to be looking at a tiff.
No.
I'll be waiting until I get home for that. That's when you drop a JPEG in.
Yeah.
All right, let's see what JPEGs our listeners have dropped into our inboxes, the other side of this ad break.
All right, then.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
What is the charge? Eating a meal? A succulent Chinese meal?
How many times do you reckon I said that when I went for a Chinese buffet with my family?
Upwards of five?
Yeah, quite a lot. Yeah. And the best thing was, some members of my family had to actually explain what it was, but that didn't deter me.
It's good that they were across it, though. Hello to Darren. Hello, lads. Just a quick email regarding Marcus Waring and his frankly unbelievable appearance on Desert Island Discs a few months ago.
I told you, I heard it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I totally appreciate the guy can cook, and fair play to him. He's good on TV, tasting food and slagging chefs off. But he is an absolute music vacuum.
honestly, every chef that goes on Desert Island Discs is an absolute disgrace.
I've listed his choices and the reasons for them below. His first track was Tainted Love because his brother had a soft sell album. His second choice was Coming Eileen because his mum is called Eileen. Hopefully that was the only reason for this one. In a sinister twist, he also picked a Roy Orbison track because it was the only tape his dad had in his car.
Yeah.
And to finish, Burt Bacharach because he once rented a villa in France and there was a Burt Bacharach CD in the stereo. Unbelievable. Darren, that's a wonderfully worded
email. I actually think his last one was Skyfall by Adele.
Good
which
God.
Is even more boring. But you know that... there's something about being a chef, and I've got a lot of respect for Marcus Waring, of course. It's brilliant on TV as well, by the way. But there's something about chefs that they have to be so into being a chef that that they just, I just don't think they have time for anything else.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I remember listening to Heston Blumenthal. My God, it was boring. But he said that when all his pals were out playing and enjoying themselves, playing football or playing games, riding their bikes or whatever, he had a copy of, I can't remember the name of the book, but some seminal French cookbook.
Yeah.
In French, and a French English dictionary.
Yeah.
And he would spend his time as a kid translating it by hand.
So, it's, I mean, a bit Michael Owen-y, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so.
But because it's something interesting and artsy and something beloved by the upper class, the old nosh.
Absolutely.
It's regarded as being, a much more intelligent person. He's obviously very intelligent. He knows what he's doing. But I was once, I think he thought I was trying to get off with his son once.
Oh, where's that come from? Where has that come from?
I was at a birthday party and Heston Blumenthal was there with his son. And
was he catering it, or was he actually there?
No, he was there. He was there as a guest.
Oh, let me just sit on this chair. Oh, I can't. It's a flapjack.
And I was chatting to his son, and his son was like talking about how he lost his passport.
How old was his son?
18.
This is problematic.
And I think
he's like probably about 15 then.
Because it was like a media-y kind of party, I think Heston Blumenthal might have assumed that I was
Radio DJ as well.
Well, that was somehow problematic.
Yeah. Well, I think that's absolutely fair enough. It's a fair assumption. Have you been to any parties with any other sort of celebrity chefs or?
No, not really. No,
my wife's a big fan of Marcus Waring. Yeah. She loves him. Okay. She loves Michelle Roux as well.
You never stop talking about him.
Yeah, it's true. Actually, his name is all over my house.
I remember hearing a friend of a friend had sex with a popular chef, and his personal hygiene was not great.
Is it the same party or not?
What? No.
Connor's been in touch with an email about sausage meat. He says,
"There's more sausage cheese of anything." Oh,
he actually starts the email very nicely. He says, "Yeah, come on." He says, "Good afternoon, guys. Hope all is well with you both."
Oh, cool.
You mentioned Christmas dinners a few shows ago, and it touched a nerve with me as my last few Christmas dinners have been surrounded by controversy relating to sausage meat. Now, the reason I got this email in there is because I have a similar situation
in
my family. And I thought until Connor emailed in, I was the only family that had sausage meat with their Christmas dinner. Do you have sausage meat with your Christmas dinner?
No, God no. Yeah. Why would I do that?
I mean, that's what everyone says. Connor says, "I've settled down with a lovely young girl, one who grew up in a quaint village outside Winchester. Well, I was dragged up in the doldrums of Southampton. Poor you. Now, I appreciate Luke may understand where I'm coming from here when I say there is a rather sizable gap in class and upbringing," cheeky, "and we often exchange stories that leave my better half nothing short of horrified. Most of them I can understand, but I will never forget the tumbleweed I was met with when I suggested serving up sausage meat for Christmas dinner with her family. It's a staple on my plate, but a completely alien idea to her and her family. Where do you guys stand on this delicious slab of meat? And I wondered if there were any other foods added to the Christmas dinner plates around the world which were met with equal derision. Keep up the good work and have a very merry festive season. Thanks, Connor." So,
it would give you a little extra something, especially if you're having like turkey or something. And also, it's kind of similar to stuffing in many ways, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like a really meat. So it's basically like sausage without the skin on it. It's fucking delicious. And we have it all the time. We have mealy puddings as well, as a nod to our Scottish heritage. But I don't think I've met another family that has sausage meat on their Christmas dinner until Connor emailed in.
No.
How do you feel about it? You'd have it, would you?
I'd be up for it, but I think it's... it's not like... It's not normal.
What's your perfect kind of Christmas dinner plate?
Never had one. I've told you about my mum's cooking.
No, but what ingredients do you want to see on there?
Just a cream of horseradish sauce.
That's the first thing you're saying?
Yeah.
Surely the first thing is turkey, no?
No, the most important things are cream of horseradish sauce, which I'll eat with anything, to be quite frank.
You're supposed to have it with beef, but carry on.
Yeah, I'll have it with anything. But also, obviously, roasties are the kings.
Yeah.
And then maybe a Yorkshire pudding after that. Everything else can take care of itself, I think.
Turkey?
I don't like turkey, yes.
What, does your mum make turkey?
No, she usually goes for like cold cuts, effectively. We have cold cuts and we make it hot by pouring gravy onto it.
That's actually dangerous, you know that. It's dangerous.
No, it's like cold cuts, like kind of cold meat.
You're supposed to not do uncooked. That because if you reheat meat like that, poultry, part way, you can make yourself really sick.
Yeah, but you're only putting gravy on it and then jam it in your mouth. Gosh. It's not gonna be like massive. You're not boiling it again, are you?
It's the most wonderful time.
I hope she never listens to any of this.
Is Christmas going to be good? Out of 10, what's it going to be? There's 6.
A lot of politics, a lot of food chat.
Goodness me.
Goodness me.
That's
redacted name of chef.
Yeah, not Marcus Waring.
That's the person. Yeah, no, that's.
Oh, that's the guy.
That's what I was talking about. You didn't need to say the word.
Okay.
Oh, dear.
Oh, good.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Very good. Should we do one more email very quickly?
All right, cool.
This is a good one, actually. It's from. Should I do one from this guy?
You have a quick one from John McNair before you get to your one.
Go on then.
John McNair, I'm a postman. I used to deliver to someone. She came out talking to me most days after a few weeks. She said, do you know who I am? I said, I don't. She said, I'm Battle Axe and Gladiators. I thought she was taking the piss. I got home, Googled her, and it was actually her.
Wow.
So thank you, John.
That's a very good email. I don't want to follow that.
No?
It's too good. It's too good, mate. It's too good.
Postman meets Battle Axe.
I want us to get to a stage where we've every single one between us and our lovely listeners. We've met every single gladiator.
Yes.
Have you ever met one?
I think I found out a couple of weekends ago that Jet comes from like my neck of the woods. I had no idea.
Diane Udale. Does she?
Yeah, she does, yeah.
She's from Middlesbrough.
Yeah, she went to a Hartlepool school, I think. I want to say. She went to like Brighton or something. Weird.
Very
interesting.
Nice. All right, good.
Very interesting.
We've ended this show as we should end every show, which is talking about Jet, who is by far the best gladiator. Jet. And yeah, that's how it should be. All right, have a great weekend. I hope you get the election result you wanted. but if you don't, at least you know, safe and alive, if you voted, you had your say.
Yeah.
Hello@lukeandpeteshow.com to have your say with us. We will be back on Monday with Katie back at the ones and twos. Bloody happy with that as well, I am.
Thank the Lord.
And we'll see you then. Cheers.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.